us in the bin.
Cover to reveal forgery, deception and VAT fraud.
They were defrauding the tax, they were submitting false accounting.
We lied to banks, people obtained loans under false pretenses. It was whatever we could do to raise money.
Hollywood superstars Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman give Scientology a glamorous image. Tonight we reveal the financial sleaze behind the glitz. Tonight, we're going to expose serious financial crime in one of the Scientology cult's most successful operations in Britain. We show how they cooked the books, made false statements to obtain bank loans, and changed invoices to fiddle their VAT.
Trust.
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 This advert for the Church of Scientology was recently shown on cable TV. Getting permission to broadcast it was a major breakthrough for the cult.
The cult persuaded the Independent Television Commission that it was a proper religious organization, fit to be allowed on TV. It now also has the right to advertise on the ITV network itself, giving it direct access to the entire British population. And the Scientologists hope they'll soon be officially accepted as a charity. But the inside evidence we have obtained raises serious doubts about their new public image.
Last year, the big story secretly filmed inside the Bournemouth mission of the Scientologists. We showed the weird psychological techniques they use and how they get people to spend thousands of pounds on their books and courses. The revelations in that program convinced two former Bournemouth mission officials that they should come to us with their inside story of financial scams.
Trust.
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 Roger Tuffin left Scientology when he decided to come out as gay and now lives with his partner John. He joined the Bournemouth mission when he was just 20 and desperately confused about his sexuality. Roger had worked in a bank, so he soon found himself in a key role in the mission's treasury department, cooking the books. Normal accounting practices and financial law went by the board.
Nobody knew where the money came from, so receipts were made up to account for that money. But of course the receipts are being made up about 3 years later with fictional names, fictional amounts and courses, and completely bogus receipts.
At the time, Roger Kay was the boss. His deputy was Debbie Pine. Tuffin says they both knew what was going on, but the cult's international HQ denies this.
Oh, I think that allegation is a complete lie. I don't think that there is any example that you can ever find of anybody who in the Church of Scientology has done something that's improper that has not been dealt with internally within the church.
Poole High Street 10 days ago. Our secret camera watches the Scientologists out and about trying to pick up new members.
We operate for the benefit of the public, so it's up to you.
Although it calls itself a religion, Scientology is essentially a money-making enterprise. And they want that money so much that in the Bournemouth mission, they were prepared to employ a woman who admitted she'd been involved in financial malpractice in the past.
The Scientologists knew that I'd been involved in professional malpractice, and they knew that I knew how money worked, and how to get money, how to move money around. And as the years progressed, I got dragged more and more back into the world of finance.
But the Scientologists claim they put her in the job to give her a second chance.
When someone comes into a church and says that they have reformed their ways, it would be uncharitable and not religious to say to them, well, sorry, we don't believe anything that you're saying. I'm sorry, because of your past, we don't believe that you can change.
According to Andrea, by 1991, the Bournemouth mission was broke and under enormous pressure from the cult's head office to sell more and more Scientology courses.
And as the pressure of financial problems at the mission became greater and greater, it became apparent to all concerned that the only way to raise the money that was needed was to do things which were effectively more malpractice.
In the Bournemouth mission every Thursday evening, the executives met to draw up a list of emotionally vulnerable recruits to be targeted that week.
There'd be some people who maybe their mother had just died and they were very depressed, or their girlfriend had just left them, and those would be prime targets.
Alex Bowerman was a prime target. He's still trying to recover both financially and mentally. In 1995, he enrolled for a £125 Scientology counselling course.
They told me that I was in a very depressed state of mind. I had to do something about it, otherwise, you know, it was just downhill from there. I had to put a stop to that.
In one of Scientology's handbooks, this technique is known as finding a ruin.
You talked to him about the things which are, quote, ruining his life, unquote. You basically make the person feel really, really bad about the condition they're in. You take their problems and you magnify them. You look at how that's going to affect them in the future, and you get the person into a state where they feel that their future is nothing unless they do something. And then you tell them that the only thing they can do is Scientology.
Debbie Pine ruined Alex Bowerman. In a series of grueling interviews, she persuaded him to start The Bridge, a set of courses allegedly designed to clear a person of his problems.
I was taken for three interviews, starting about 10 o'clock at night, ending up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was during this process that I was persuaded that this was the best course to take.
The Bridge costs more than £20,000. To pay for it, Alex was persuaded to cash in an insurance policy, but he was told it had to be done immediately.
I'd spoken to the insurance company and been told that, oh, there was no way they could get it that week. It would take 2-3 weeks minimum. So I went back to Scientology and they said, oh, no, this is not correct. And we've done this before. You just say that it's your money. If you want it, you can get it.
They were right. When Alex insisted he wanted the money quickly, the insurance company paid up. The senior registrar, Stephanie Powell, went with him to collect the money. But even though Alex handed over more than £23,000, she still wasn't satisfied. Within days, he'd been persuaded he needed more training courses, tapes and books, amounting to another £2,000.
They played me for a puppet. They managed, within the space of a week, to get £25,000 off me. That's more than my banks have ever managed to do in 25 years.
Alex's story is not unique. According to Andrea, it happens all the time.
People were persuaded to remortgage their homes, sell their homes, cash in the policies that were supposed to pay off their mortgages, borrow against their pension, sell their family jewels, borrow from their families, sell their cars. Anything you can possibly imagine that a person could do to raise money, people were persuaded to do to pay into Scientology.
You can talk to thousands of people and they will tell you that nothing even remotely similar to that happened to them. That's just a story that is made up now to sound sensational and give you some fodder for your program that will make the church in some way look bad.
If targets had no ready cash or property to sell, they'd be persuaded to take out a loan. To make borrowing easy, the registrars kept a handy stock of forms from all the major financial lending institutions. They then persuaded people to lie to the bank about the purpose of the loans. This constitutes criminal deception.
Trust. I knew full well, and so did all the other registrars, that if a person filled a loan form in saying the money was for Scientology, they'd get a very negative response. So people were encouraged to say that the money was for a management training course, a computer, a car, a boat, anything other than for Scientology. Sometimes the person would fill the form in themselves, sometimes we'd fill it in with them, or for them, then they'd sign it, and it would be submitted to the bank on a completely false basis.
If the church itself assisted a member Scientologist in deceiving a bank into advancing a loan which the bank would not or might not otherwise have given, then that is conspiracy to cheat, and that's an extremely serious criminal offence.
In 1993, a loan application purporting to be for a computer was filled out by a young recruit in the Bournemouth mission.
The bank found out that he'd used the money for Scientology and threatened to go to the police. The mission needed a scapegoat. I was the scapegoat. I was told to write a report of all the things that had happened in the mission financially that were irregular.
Andrea says she was forced into signing a full confession, taking all the blame herself, even though other people were also involved in the financial scams.
I can't give you any information whatsoever about that. I just don't... You know, you're talking to me and I have certain information about things, but the Bournemouth mission is a long, long, long way away from the central activities of the Church of Scientology on an international basis.
Andrea was suspended for 6 months, but then she was reinstated. Back in her old apartment, it was business as usual. She was so successful, she even won awards from head office.
Trust.
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 It wasn't just the banks that Scientology officials defrauded. In the early 90s, the cult's accountants realized the mission had failed to register for value-added tax and owed thousands of pounds to customs and excise. This resulted in some creative bookkeeping. The scam was simple. The courses the cult sells are subject to VAT, but the nations are not.
If there was a receipt for a course of, say, about £4,000, part of that she taxed, which has to be deducted. But then the receipt would be changed, that receipt taken out and destroyed, another receipt made, and make it into a donation.
In the event that the church is deliberately falsifying its accounting records, destroying receipts and the like, so that its trading income or income from services is understated to the customs and excise, then that's an extremely serious criminal offence. It could be theft, false accounting, and could be subject to many years of imprisonment.
Now, I will say this to you over and over and over. If someone was doing something unethical, then that isn't tolerated by anybody in the church. That's not acceptable to me, it's not acceptable to anybody, and we take responsibility for straightening those things out.
Trust.
Trust.
The Scientology staff, under constant pressure to make money, live in fear of any of their recruits leaving the cult. A recruit who drops out represents a drop in income. Even worse, he might demand a refund. So officials need to keep all members under their control, and to do this they use an insidious technique. All recruits are persuaded to divulge any dark secrets from their past for their own good. Those secrets are recorded and can, if necessary, be used against them in the future.
Stuart Parkinson is one of the mission's most senior officials. One day he took Alex Bowerman aside for a confidential chat. He told him that to get over his problems, he should admit all his past wrongdoings.
There was a sort of confessional. Stuart asked for all sorts of information about my background, and anything that I was upset about, or embarrassed about, or I felt was holding me on the line. And I divulged all sorts of stuff that I would not normally tell anybody. In fact, stuff that I had not told anybody up until that point. Having written them all down, he read them, and they went in my file.
That confession was to have serious consequences for Alex. After he left the cult, he was pestered for 6 months with letters and calls. Then they discovered he'd instructed a solicitor to take legal action to get his money back.
Within the next couple of days, we had a letter from the mission that was not very pleasant.
The letter referred to the secrets that Alex had divulged, suggesting the way out for you could be to honestly confess everything you did to your wife and the police and suffer the consequences.
It was basically telling me that they had stuff on me that I wouldn't want other people to know that.
And Hodkin and Company, Scientology solicitors, passed on the letter to the Legal Aid Board in an attempt to forestall Alex's legal action.
I was devastated. I just reading that letter, I felt as if the whole world had sort of collapsed in one day.
Fear that personal confidences might be divulged by the Scientologists can ruin a life, or even end it. Last November, Richard from Christchurch was recruited into the Bournemouth mission. Within a few months, he'd borrowed £3,000 to pay for Scientology courses. Richard's sister, Jennifer, lives in Australia. She remembers what her brother was like before he met the Scientologists.
I'll describe him as very thoughtful, caring, intelligent, sensitive person. He seemed to enjoy life. He went out a lot with his friends.
Richard underwent the Scientologist's purification rundown. Supposedly a form of detoxification, recruits take huge doses of vitamins and then go for a vigorous half-hour run. They then sit in a sauna for up to 5 hours a day. This punishing regime is repeated daily for at least 2 to 3 weeks. People start to hallucinate, allegedly because their bodies are getting rid of impurities. In fact, it's a symptom of the damage being done to the metabolism. It was all too much for Richard, both physically and mentally. Alan, one of Richard's workmates, witnessed what happened when he decided to quit Scientology.
When he initially wanted to leave, they phoned him 4 times a day, 5 times a day, for an hour each time on the phone. And while he was on the phone, he was shaking, he was a bit nervous, obviously frightened or something, but only Scientologists and Richard would know what that conversation was.
Tony Clark and other Bournemouth Mission officials wrote Richard several letters. Some of them distressed Richard so much, he tore them up on the spot. Others warned him of the consequences if he quit Scientology and asked him to come into the mission. Andrea knows the routine. It's called re-ruining.
He might be shown write-ups he'd done of past misdeeds and very strongly reminded that those things still existed within him as emotional difficulties. And he'll be brought to a very low emotional point. All the influence that the Church had priorly brought to bear on him would be re-brought to bear. And the indoctrination would be hammered in harder.
Richard's sister was on a visit home in July. She saw him on the morning of his death.
Richard was anxious about the fact that he was wanting to leave Scientology, and he was concerned that they were not letting him leave and that they were threatening to print personal information about him. That was what he voiced to me on that morning.
Later, Richard left home saying he was going to visit a friend. He stopped at a garage nearby for petrol and some cigarettes, but he never arrived at his friend's house.
For several hours, his movements are unaccounted for, but much later that night, Richard parked his car by the Clifton Suspension Bridge in Bristol. At 10 minutes to midnight, he jumped to his death.
I feel, and my family feel, that Richard would still be alive today if he hadn't become involved with the Church of Scientology. And I feel that they have a responsibility for people that they're recruiting. And if people wish to leave the organization, then they need to give people that freedom to leave without harassment and without threat.
The fact that he committed suicide is a tragedy. But the fact that people would then make an allegation that because at some point he had an involvement in the Church of Scientology, that therefore the Church of Scientology is responsible for it, is reprehensible. It's disgusting.
Even after Richard had died, the harassment continued. Unaware of the suicide, Tony Clark sent increasingly angry and threatening letters. In one he wrote, "Be bloody ethical and get yourself sorted."
10 British recruits to Scientology have committed suicide in the past 12 years. But despite disturbing evidence in cases like Richard's, Britain has been tolerant of the cult. In Europe, it's a very different story. There, the authorities have taken strong action against Scientology because of public outrage over the suicide of recruits. The cult's use of manipulative psychological techniques and dubious financial practices have been condemned.
Trust.
Lyon in France last Friday and the climax of a sensational criminal trial. 14 leading Scientologists are convicted of fraud after a recruit was driven to suicide. Nellie Vick, the widow of the man who died, arrives at court with her lawyer. The Scientologist had persuaded her husband to take out a £3,000 loan. He had fallen under the influence of the cults, which provoked family quarrels.
He couldn't find a way out of his dilemma. He was caught.
His wife didn't want him to borrow the money, which meant he was torn between his loyalty to his family and his loyalty to the Scientologists. He couldn't make the choice between them, so finally he committed suicide. Patrice Vic jumped from the 12th floor of this block of flats. Last Friday, leading French Scientologist Jean-Jacques Mazier was convicted of his manslaughter and of committing fraud. The sentencing Mazier to 3 years in prison, the judge said, amassing money is one of the essential concerns, if not the only concern, of the Church of Scientology. But the Scientologist dismissed the case as religious persecution.
The formation of the Christian religion was fraught with intolerance. I mean, Jesus Christ was tried in a court not unlike the court in France. He was tried in a court and found guilty, and he was put to death. Today they don't do that anymore. Today we've got the media to do that to people.
Trust.
In Germany, there have been street protests against the Scientologists, and the demonstrators have been backed by tough official action. Both main political parties have banned Scientologists, and in some regions, members of the cult are not permitted to work in the public service.
Die Scientologen erheben einen Machtanspruch über die Gesellschaft und über Menschen.
Scientologists seek control over society and over individual people. You have to act when they're using criminal methods and failing to abide by the law. We also know that they set out to infiltrate their followers into public offices, into the economy, into politics, and into the press. Their aim is to form a network of Scientology agents to undermine society.
Two German Scientologists have been jailed for tax evasion, and in some places the cult's members have been banned from owning property because of fears about their growing influence. And all over the country, schools give children lessons warning of the cult's recruitment methods. The cult claims that the anti-Scientology feeling has been whipped up by the Catholic and Lutheran churches, and accuses its critics of behaving like Nazis.
There is a simple answer for the people that don't like those comparisons being made, which is stop saying things and stop doing things that are directly parallel to what did happen in the 1930s.
Trust.
And the cult is in the dock in Spain, too. 21 Scientologists, including the church's international president, Heber Yenscher, have been indicted for crimes including tax evasion and inducement to suicide. Once again, the Scientologists say they're all trumped-up charges. Back in Britain, in 1993, Roger Tuffin joined the Sea Organization, Scientology's elite corps.
The only way that I could really get out would be to move up into the Sea Organization, which would be looked at as being a positive thing to do in Scientology, but it would help me escape the finances and the trouble that was there, because I didn't agree with that, but I couldn't win a one-man battle on sorting it out.
Roger was posted to Scientology's ship Freewinds in the Caribbean. There he looked after the cult's war chest, amassed from the huge donations collected worldwide.
And certainly rose into hundreds of millions. They'd make roughly worldwide about $500,000 a week in donations.
Trust.
The purpose of this enormous fund of money is to pay for massive propaganda campaigns across the world aimed at presenting Scientology as a proper religion. With such huge sums at its disposal, Scientologists are in a position to influence millions of vulnerable people. But some who've seen the cult from the inside warn against being won over.
When I saw the trust ad, I was horrified. I've not been the most trustworthy person in my life, and having made this program, I may get into serious trouble for that. But I felt that people needed to know the truth. Scientology is not an organization that you can trust. Far from it.
Thank you.